Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back to the Geeked Up Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything nerd-related. I am your host D.
Hirsch.
I am your host D, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts. The first of which likes to have a little jello before we start the pod. See what up, Merle?
What's going on, guys? And once again, like I said, they try to tell me how my story's supposed to go, but do my own thing. And let me just be transparent real quick. I just, you know, want to apologize to my guys right here. I was a little bit belligerent yesterday, and that was, you know, unbecoming. So I do apologize. Thank you. Why are you smiling? Why? See, that's why I don't like to apologize and shit. Cause niggas get all weird and shit, want to smirk. See, dude, that's why I don't be open with y'all.
It's just adult of you to do. That's all. Oh, I'm appreciating the growth.
Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck everything you stand for, right?
You see, this is why I did that. This is why I did it. I apologize again because I wanted to see the remarks. There you go. I like that. Thank you.
And my second co-host, who likes to have a little crustable before we start the pod, say what up, Roy.
What up, it's your boy Roy.
And my last co-host, who likes to have an entire thing of cheese whiz to start his day, say what up, Abdul.
Queso, but salute, we out here.
No, we're not doing that.
Happy almost Women's History Month, guys. Remember, next month, tuck it in, so.
Yeah, the way he freestyled in it was crazy.
It was insane.
That was wild. Oh, man. Yeah, shout out Women's History Month.
Shout out. Before we get the show started, I want to remind everyone to please rate the show 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Your rating helps us move up the algorithm and bring in new listeners. And if you're enjoying the audio, please check out the video version on our YouTube channel, Geeked Up Productions. Now with the promotion out the way, let's get into the nonsense of the week, where streamer Hassan Abi is once again found himself in the middle of controversy. This time he's saying that streaming on Twitch is harder than a real job. He says, yes, a real job can be gruesome, a real job can make you very tired, but a real job doesn't suck the soul out of you. What do you guys got to say about that?
This is my honest reaction. Right.
This is your man crush, man. God, you can lead off. Go ahead. I know you want to. You have some defense written for him.
I've been working on my take all day. You know,
yo, that's nasty. Hey, you in the mirror trying to practice it. Yo, hey. 95. Is it really killing you?
Hey, you got to think about it, bro.
No, we're not doing that. Stop.
I gotta do it. So essentially, like you said, he's went out and said that streaming can be harder than your typical day job. He cleaned it up later by saying essentially what he means is it can be more socially draining than quote unquote a real job. Essentially, when they get done, you know, streaming after talking to all of your chatters, you know, for 9 to 10 hours, however long you're streaming for, like, you know, you're just done. Your batteries ran out. Don't want to talk to anybody anymore. You just want to curl up in a ball. He said, like, in a real job, that doesn't happen all the time. You know, some people are going to be exhausted and other people not so much. Me personally, I'm going to say when I was working my job, well, hell, working the job I got right now, you know, shout out to all my work from home, you know, people. That's pretty chill. I can't lie.
Talk about it.
I'm not gonna say everybody's life is that life. You know, everyone lives a different sort of lives in terms of like their work-life balance. Obviously, more people are privileged than other people. I think that's probably why everyone's so angry at Hassan, is because they see him from a privileged standpoint. You know, talking down on everybody for an amount of, you know, you're the millionaire streamer complaining about your day job. But at the end of the day, our jobs are not all the same. You know what I'm saying? Some people have to work and they actually have to move their feet. You know, like, they actually have to talk and move their feet. Me, personally, I sit on my desk all day. I go do chores around the house when I feel like it. You know what I'm saying? I might take a nap if I feel like it.
Take a nap.
But, you know, other people, they bust their ass. You know what I'm saying? They bust their ass. Work. They got to move all over the place. All of us have worked different kinds of jobs. I have worked, you know, a manual labor job that was also social. Hated that shit. I've worked on a call center job where I had to talk on the phone all day. Mm-hmm. The entire day. Hated that shit. Battery was completely drained. So at the end of the day, I think it's all up to perspective. This is his perspective. And if you want to have that perspective, then go be a streamer. But the majority of you people talking shit aren't streamers or content creators.
No.
You really can't even, like, where are you coming from to even have this standpoint or this viewpoint? Like, you don't even know.
his perspective is out of touch because he's saying his social battery is drained. And to that I say, take your fucking tampon off. Like, okay. There is no reason you can.
There's no reason to be sexist.
There's no reason that your complaint of your day. First of all, if you do anything for 9 hours, you're going to be tired. Saying that it's streaming, that it drains your social battery, just shows how fucking out of touch you are. I'd say that to the person that worked at Cracker Barrel for 9 hours, that had to talk and carry fucking trays and respond to customers and actually be social. His social battery that's being drained as a streamer is you sitting on the computer and commenting on life events or news events and saying things that are happening in like Palestine, Israel, or that Andrew Tate is doing or some shit. You're essentially, your social interaction is you talking to the computer, to yourself, maybe responding to a comment or two of people responding to you. I could even understand if maybe his stance was like, I'm debating for 9 hours. Okay, I could give you something like, all right, I get it. That is taxing or whatever on you. But real talk, like, play a video game for 9 hours, fucking work out for 9 hours, do anything for 9 hours. It's going to drain you. I just feel like it was a nothing take. It's not wrong in the sense of saying, like, you know, streaming for 9 hours is hard, because streaming is work. I'm not going to say it's not. But to pretend like your life is harder or it's harder, it's more draining in any capacity than a 9-to-5 job, I don't think you have ever really worked a 9-to-5 job.
Are you saying that because, all right, so are you saying like, yo, streaming and like streaming in general is like bullshit, or just his take on streaming? Like,
his having social commentary on like life events, like news events and things like that. And Hassan has had like, let's be honest, Hassan has had some out of touch takes before, you know, like even this, that Kai Cenat thing that happened, like when that whole riot happened with the PS5s not too long ago, like the, when Manhattan or whatever was like, you know, going crazy and shit, and people were like destroying shops and stuff like that. And Hassan is looking at it as like, you know, someone was complaining about their business being destroyed. Hassan is looking at that as like, man, the media likes to look at this, and this guy pretty much had $3 worth of Doritos getting thrown away, and he's acting like his business is gone. It's like,
take, but yeah,
damn, you are just like, you really sit up here on your computer, rich as fuck, and just pretend like,
okay,
you
got all right. Like, we just gonna do this a Hassan bashing, or you gonna talk about the take? Like, what are we doing? It's like, it's like, it's so easy. I was just saying, there's a reason why we already want to talk about this man is like the most hated streamer. We already, that's like true, that was true. What we already talked about, like, it ain't hard to pull out a shit take from any of these streamers, especially ones that are talking 9 hours during the day, and especially when there's already a target on your back. People already hate this man. They already hate him. The fact that most people could say, oh shit, that's a shit take, but at the same time, I haven't ever experienced that myself. So you don't exactly know. And then you're saying essentially you're streaming, right? You say you're streaming, right? And you're only talking about the social commentary. But if you watch this on stream, you know this man likes to pick out an individual comment from somebody and go the fuck off on that person, go through the research and go down and go. I'm saying that at the end of the day, he's not just talking to a screen. Like, he's actually trying to communicate with the people in his chat, you know, 20 to 30,000 people, and trying to have this dialogue. Like, this is at the same, at the end of the day, it is a social aspect to streaming. Yes, you can get on here and just game, and literally that's it. You know, there's
he's
like
smoking a glass dick, bro.
Like, top gamers in the world that literally just turn their shit on. I'm playing the game, nigga, and you just gonna sit back and watch. That is super easy. That's super chill. But at the end of the day, this man is streaming and talking to these people, and then after the fact, he's got to deal with people like you shitting on him on the internet, and then like has to deal with that. People. We're once again another time this week. This is, you know, another time in the last few weeks where we got to talk about this mental health shit that no one gives a fuck about. Everyone like fake cares about this shit.
None of y'all give a fuck about this shit.
Because the other saying you're just shitting on the man because he's giving his take on something that we have no idea what it's about. Like, but as content creators ourselves, we know ourselves that this shit, it can be draining. Like,
as fuck. Abdul was just complaining about like editing videos all day. It's like, yeah, nigga.
That's not what I'm getting at either. Like, and I understand where you're coming from. Like, if you want to make the argument that like everyone else doesn't stream 9 hours, so they don't know what it feels like to do what Hassan does, he also hasn't worked at fucking Cracker Barrel or worked as a server before either.
Clearly. No, he hasn't worked at a server, but he did say he did sales. He has worked a job. Yeah,
How long has he worked said jobs though?
Like, I have no idea.
And when did you work at Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, I'm on that.
I'm on that too.
The thing is, like, if you're gonna talk about something being draining, your take could have been founding. Anyone would have cared if it was saying
I'm gonna interrupt you because I do want to know. Because Merle asked a good question. How long did you work at Cracker Barrel? And how long was it too draining for you to work at Cracker Barrel?
Six months? Get me the fuck out of here.
But that is also the point of this. At the end of the day, like, if you don't like your job and if you have the possible, you know, the privilege to choose your job or get a new job, you can find something that's less draining. You know what I'm saying? My job currently could be super draining, but I could also put in the effort to try and find a job that's less draining. But we're talking about literally just screaming.
That's not what we're talking about here, Roy.
Literally just screaming. We're just talking about just screaming.
Yeah, you're completely obfuscating what we're talking about.
Moving the goalposts a little bit there.
Yeah. I was with you for a second. He was cooking.
His take would have been fine if you said streaming for 9 hours takes a lot out of me and it can be draining. But comparing it to a 9-to-5 or saying that it's more draining than a 9-to-5 in any capacity, if you worked at a call center, if you worked in a restaurant, if you worked in even work from home, you worked in retail, we worked at fucking Levi's, you know what it's like to sell anything or to actually, when the demand is to talk to somebody versus picking out a comment that came out, and you know how Hassan is and he streams, so he used to pick out a comment and fucking say something to somebody. Oh my god, he had to do something. Like, if that is your barometer of what is going to be more demanding, that's exactly why you sound out of touch, because it's not expected out of you. That's just something that's adding to your job. Whereas when you're a server or you're working for a boss, like an actual manager that's going to come down on you if you don't deliver, you understand there's a different level of pressure because you're dealing with appeasing people. Now, Merle, you have a part-time job. You understand.
I didn't want to say that.
Customer walks in your door, gives you fucking attitude or something like that. You have a rough day. Guess who? That's not contingent. Hassan's social battery is contingent on him. Yours is contingent on who walks in that door. I don't
I like that. We come back to, but then we come back to, like, at the end of the day, like, what are you? I don't know, man. I don't want to sit here because I'm not going to try and shit on nobody's job. I ain't trying to shit on nobody's job.
So, to take us out of it, what about just streamers in general? Like, I watch people who stream video games, they talk to their chat. And then you also got to deal with people coming, like being black and being a streamer. You got people that come in and be like, yo, fuck this nigger, fuck that guy. We get comments in our videos talking about, like, this guy out of here. He called you the Beeb or something like that. Get out of here. That's not social training to you. Like, that's like, damn. All these fucking comments is like, damn. He said, nab. My bad. I said the Beeb. I'm racist now.
Exactly. But the thing is, they call Abdul Nav. They call this man Indian. Like, we don't act like it doesn't affect you at all. Like, I know for a fact that we got one single comment on a video we got, like, last year, and I thought about that shit for, like, a good hour or two.
That's a fact. Like, this nigga did a video with nothing but
hate comments, bro. Roy's like, you know, reading these, I'm like, I don't have the mental capacity to even deal with this shit right now. I'm working my actual job. I cannot read these comments. I don't need any more belittling right now.
Now, but if you know the internet is kind of like comprised of a lot of hate comments in itself, like, of course, they're looking to quickly bash you or quickly kick your back down. Like, it's not, I don't look at like those hate comments or troll comments in a sense of like, damn, I feel bad about myself. I think that they're funny. You know, I'm also looking at what the discussion piece might be and be like, oh, did they agree with me or not? If they didn't agree with me, damn, what did I miss on or something like that? That's probably where I'll be thinking, like, damn, did I fuck
he's
up?
He's lying because like, he definitely did feel a way about that nav comment. That nav comment. But it's okay.
No, it was funny. I'm like, damn, he got me. Nah. Like, it's not like I'm not going to sleep. Like, oh, he's doing me bad. I can control this. Like, oh my God, I'm brown. Like,
but I will say, not to put shit out there, but as the nigga that does do the labor work for two jobs, like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, hearing a nigga say that it's comparable is fucking nuts. It's way more tiresome physically, mentally. It's taxing, just, you know, engaging with dumbass customers, that you have to constantly see on a regular daily basis. Co-workers, man, like you said, manager, you touch the goods, but like, yeah, no, like, shut the fuck up, nigga. Like, enjoy the streaming shit, enjoy that shit. You at home, you in your own, and that's the thing. You like with that whole Twitch shit and that stream, bro. You're in your own domain. Like, there's nothing better than working in your own domain versus going to a spot where you have to now play by their rules and play by a set of rules. And if you can't, your ass is out. Yeah, man.
One more thing. No, because that's the same thing Abdul just said. And I forgot what I was trying to say earlier in DeAndre. and I luckily interrupted. But
that, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm sure it was a bad point, but go ahead.
It probably is a bad point to y'all, because at the end of the day, we're talking about a job and we're talking about a small business, essentially, because that's what streaming is. It's a business. Small businesses, they're not as simple as just working 9 to 5. Like, you put in a ton of work outside of the typical 9 to 5 to try and even make it a possibility. So, like, when you're saying, like, you got to worry about this person coming down on you, and it's like, yeah, I worked hard enough to get to this point where I am my own boss. So.
Yeah, when you're your own boss, everyone can be your boss at the end of the day, because you're that's at the whim of the people that are going to like you then at the end. And
it can be socially draining.
Yeah, and that's what I said. To shoot him, Bill, it can be draining. Like, when DeAndre was talking about it, what DeAndre was talking about is, like, yeah, streaming can be draining. Like, if you were doing something that would be draining, like, I even said it earlier, like, if you was debating for 9 hours a day or something like that, or, like, actually doing something to engage. But I watched Hassan stream before, and, like, a lot of it is him chilling and maybe picking out a comment and maybe just commenting on something and being on his phone and eating and something. Oh, I'm so sorry you got it hard. And there's a no capacity this is really that much harder than anything else. But that's not to say streaming isn't work or streaming is easy or anything like that. But
my other point to this is we don't know. I told you I was working on this take.
I clearly nigga. Keep going.
Because we need to move on. But I just want to say, like, we don't necessarily, like, this streaming shit is new. This content creation shit is new. We don't really know what effects this is having on the people in the day to day at this current point. Down the line, we'll know. But right now, we know that people aren't doing this for a very long time. They're doing this for, like, at the longest 5 to 10 years, maybe a 15. I haven't seen anybody do 15 years, but people aren't lasting that long in streaming, and it's got to be for a reason.
Fair, man. Fair. I'm not going to yield, but...
Roy, that's point.
There is some back-end work that could be done, but I'm not gonna. I know Hassan got a fucking team, so fuck out of here. Like,
going back to him and not the point, but so we're going to move on.
He made the point. So,
yeah. All right, moving on to internet culture. Abdul, I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the Heavies, man. The Heavies gang. I think Roy and me will be on the same page here. But Andrew Schulz, as you know, has had, like, a nice stride of success in the last few years. We saw him from Guy Code to Brilliant Idiots to Flagrant. But now I feel like the internet is kind of flipped on Andrew Schulz in some weird way. I think, like, you'll see channels like Comedy Enforcement or Retroactive or... I don't know what was the third one, like podcast cringe or something like that. They make these, like, long drawn out video essays, and they keep posting, like, Andrew Schulz's face as the thing, as, like, hey, he's declining in quality, Flagrant 2 is suffering now, and, like, he's lost himself, he's become too industry. And when you click on the video and, like, the things they do to, like, kind of supplement their actual take, it's literally him, like, touching somebody's leg while he's talking to someone or something really quick, or laughing too hard, or at one point might interrupt somebody or something like that, or ignoring somebody. And they make that, like, this focal point that Andrew Schulz has lost himself. Now, I know Roy has also watched a lot of his content. Like, you watched him kind of ascend. You've watched him even have, like, a moment where, like, he digested feedback when he had that exorcism of alt-right Andy, and, like, he actually applied the feedback and tried to become better. And now you've seen him have this crazy ascension. And my thing now is, I think, like, there's this weird thing where once someone becomes too popular, like, his fans get this, like, weird, like, perceived betrayal. Like, someone that we watched, that we had this intimate relationship with, just all of a sudden become too Hollywood. And then you also suffer, like, this overexposure or something into, like, a new audience, like the Joe Rogan audience or something like that, or, like, the comedy YouTube haters or something like that, where they just want to pick at everything you do, and you're their new punching bag. You're their new Brendan Schaub or Bert Kreischer or something like that. But I wanted to pass it to you guys, what you guys think, if you think Andrew Schulz has fallen off in some type of way. Because I don't think so, but yeah.
There's no way Andrew Schulz has fallen off. The man has continued to get 1 million views per Flagrant episode, it seems. They continue to rise. It's like, it's all just... basically, it's just a made-up controversy that people are essentially, like you said, it's just the the reverse circle jerk? Yeah.
It's a reverse circle jerk.
When did this all start? Like, what made, like, when
this,
what,
year. This, this, isn't, this, this year, it always, it started this year, probably last year, honestly. Because it seems like it always stems from, like, your subreddit, you know what I'm saying? Which isn't really anybody's subreddit. It's the people's subreddit. And essentially, they'll start... they'll start nitpicking. You know what I'm saying? They'll start nitpicking, and they'll be like, "Yo, why does Andrew Schultz have the one chair, and Akash is sitting on the small the small couch with all the other people? Or why is Akash's name not part of the episode title anymore?" Like, they're picking out these little things and essentially pointing at Schultz and being like, he's being egotistical. That's why he's doing this. He wants his name out there. He doesn't care about anybody else. But if you know Schultz, the man is loyal to a fault, I would say. Like, he is extremely loyal. Like he was super loyal to Charlamagne, even though, you know, you can feel a certain way about that. He's super loyal to Brendan Schaub, even though Schaub is just like a Roganite. Like, but for some reason, he didn't want to crush him on his episode. Like, and he's super loyal to his team. Like, you see Akash, the people that everyone's saying that should feel a certain type of way about his success, Akash is just like, yo, that's my dog. Like, and he's continually to help me out, continue to help me on my specials, like trying to put me out there. Like, so I don't really see it, me personally. Now, they're also nitpicking at the episodes itself. They say he's over talks people. He interrupts a lot. Like, it's, you know, he's trying to make his own show, but at the same time, that's Schultz to me. It's always been Schultz.
As a person who watched Schultz fell off and then came back to him, I really haven't noticed a dip in quality from the episodes I was watching previously to now. And he really always be big in Akash up. Every time I watch an episode, it's Schultz giving his spill about, like, yo, I got this tour going up, I got this tour going up. The very next one is fucking Akash, like, yo, I got these tours, I got this going on, I got this going on. So I haven't really seen a dip in, like, quality or a dip in, like, yo, he's being self-centered or anything like that. Like, it's just a stable show to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. They be saying, I saw someone on Reddit say, why is there no promo code Akash and it's only promo code Schultz? Like,
Schultz is the selling name, isn't he? I feel like people come because it's Schultz's show. No one's going to come for the Akash show. I mean, maybe they will, but I think he's a selling point for
I saw Homerun University called them, they were like, it's flagrant, like a spinoff of Brilliant Idiots. And it's like, they said no, not? But it is in a way. Schultz was introduced on there, and Akash was introduced on there, and Alex Media, we heard him first on Brilliant Idiots. So when they essentially spun off and they created a sports show that essentially became a comedy podcast, like, I don't know, they've always, I don't know.
That's the asshole army right there, son. Exactly. I just don't like this weird, like, the downfall of it, because it's so obvious how much it's getting better. I think the only, like, the one of the recent episodes was with Russ, and all the comments on him was also saying, like, yo, this is how Andrew needs to come off more. Like, he needs to not interrupt people more, because they liked that episode. But I didn't get it. I definitely think, like, the one thing I would say that it kind of has, like, remnants of is, like, that late night talk show vibe now, instead of before where it was, like, an actual podcast between, like, Akash and Andrew. Now it literally feels like some of the shit that Andrew used to make fun of, like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon and shit like that. Like, it has that vibe, but it's still flagrant. Like, they don't give a fuck. Like, they are a little more guest based now, but it's not.
How so does it have that late night vibe? Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, essentially, like, you know how you watch those Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon vibes? Like, a guest will come up there, like, on, like, trying to promote something, like, their new special, their new movie, or whatever it might be. And shows used to hate those because used to make fun of them, because it's like, essentially, you would watch those shows and it'd feel like a big rehearsed thing where they have, like, a 1 to 2 one-liner stories really quick, and it's going to be like a contrived laughter, and, oh, like, well, I got pulled over by a cop and this is what happened to me, and then it's like it just feels like that. And I he used to hate that shit, but I will say the show now kind of looks like that, at least the way, like, maybe the setup feels.
That's a fact. Definitely Conan O'Brien vibe for sure.
Yeah, the setup feels like that, but, like, at the end of the day, like, they essentially, like you said, it was flagrant, was comedy, then they added guests, but essentially what Flagrant 2, but Flagrant now is they essentially just souped up on the guests. They just went all the way in on the guests, and that's what's got them popping in the first place. So for me, it makes sense, and it's good for business. Like, clearly, it's good for business.
The Mexican
and it's just weird to see, like, video essays on people that, like, because sometimes I watch these things, like, you'll see these Bert Kreischer videos and stuff, and you'll watch videos of him where, like, he cries about how people might miss him when he's gone, and it's like, you're that self-absorbed. Like, you're literally crying about, like, you being missed. Like, I can understand that, but, like, the way these compilations are being put together, it's like, I almost feel like this is what happens with everybody. I'm willing to bet this is going to happen with Shane Gillis soon in, like, 2 to 3 years. I'm willing to bet on it, because right now Shane Gillis is a man of the people, where, like, everyone has brought him up. They watched him, quote unquote, get canceled and brought back up. But now I'm definitely betting on
him. That was pretty good. Salute.
Yeah. And in the next 3 years, he's definitely gonna feel the same exact backlash. Like, you see it kind of now with Dave Chappelle, low key. Like, people are kind of tired of him. People are.
Sometimes you just this is the love to make that leap.
Would you say that Schultz has expended his time? You know, like, you live long enough to see something on the villain type shit.
Essentially, that's kind of what happened. Like, you saw that. I don't think, like, even if you look at Kevin Hart, I never thought Kevin Hart changed comedy wise. I definitely think he just got overexposed. People got tired of him, essentially. And I'm wondering if that's what it is. I could be wrong there.
I think he's the same Kevin Hart. You're just tired of him. Like, he's the same person in all the movies.
His comedies back, like, way when he first started, were way more, a little bit more raunchier. The more movies and the bigger the, you know, platform and the stage, he definitely could turn into, like, went from R to PG-13 to PG at best.
I don't feel so. I'm understanding if you feel that way, but I always felt like his comedy was pretty much the same. His movie roles, is like, his whole style, his whole shtick was pretty much, like, very animated. Like, I liked Kevin Hart then. I don't hate him now either, but I could kind of see why people got tired of him. But the same thing is happening with Dave Chappelle, where people are criticizing him, where he's like, it's not comedy no more. It's clapter, like Usman was saying.
Hey, my man.
Like, he's going to say something to get applause instead of, like, just say all the right things to give you guys, like, a, like, that perspective instead of saying, like, something that's really funny. Now, and I'm not saying Dave Chappelle's not funny, but I can kind of understand people's criticism of that. But with Schultz, man, I just gotta say, man, the internet, y'all are wrong. Like, shout out to the heavies. We're about to go see my boy April 19th, man. Salute. So,
hey, man, they'll be telling people where we're gonna be at so they can shoot us. Dang.
It's our little romantic date to Schultz. Gotta get you a heavy shirt.
Am I fly out and come out there with y'all?
Hold up. So you guys keep saying heavies. Is that what his fan base is called?
No, that's like his titties.
Thing he made up. Yeah, he's talking about titties. She got the heavies, heavy webs. Come on, son. He would like.
I'm not a Schultzy. I thought that's what y'all were called. So hey, man,
it's asshole army, man. Asshole army.
And he put his team on, like y'all said, Akash, Mark Gagnon, Alex, all of them was winning now. All of them became a goal. Good to see.
Can't say the same for some people like Joe Budden's squad, but you know.
Exactly.
Working on it. Hey, shout out to the $150 hoodies.
Yo,
Israelite.
I'm about to cop me one. Fuck you talking about.
I knew somebody was going to on here. That's why I want a nigga to lie.
You see me with my muffin man sweater, you know what I'm saying? Hand woven. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give y'all a review too.
Hand woven.
So mad. I go make that shit right now.
Nah, that's hate.
One with that, vicious taste on it.
That's hate.
Give me one. Just put muffin time on that bitch, and I'll buy it from you.
So mad. I seen that shit. That's the hate. I think the one hoodie's called Rosco in them. I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's big hate, bro. It's a black man doing business. Good. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey. All right, what? So that.
Hey, he's from hey. All right, he's from VA.
Two up, two down. Come on.
What does that mean? Because we're from the same place.
Hey. Nigga, come on, move on. Next
time. He changed up, yo.
Republican bitch. All right, moving on to the next topic. I don't know who had this one. Was it you, Roy, or is it?
I got. So yeah, next topic. So Drewski has been in the news recently. Because he recently just dropped a skit. Last week that went super viral. It was about a work husband activity at the job site. He had this nice little construction. I think it was in a warehouse, and everyone had
it was
to,
a
like,
warehouse.
Yeah, warehouse. Everyone knows.
No. And see, that's what I was saying. I saw you as you were talking to it. You looked at me on camera, and I was about to say, nigga, don't look at me. Like, you looking for it.
Nigga knows. So essentially, Drewski, this is a form of comedy that we've been seeing a lot of people doing their skits and stuff. You know, typically there's like one guy doing it, you know, talking to camera, or, you know, they might actually have a setup where they're going on different locations and they have like you know, themselves, and typically it's gonna be some women or some niggas, whoever. So this is like a meta that we don't see, you know, all over the place. Like, everybody's doing this stuff, but this specific one involving work wife, work husband, there's one guy that's been killing a game the last few months, and that's Malik B, or Malik Bazil. He's been all over the place, super viral on Twitter. Like, we've just seen him popping up. He started off with the sassy dude stuff, and then it's just been going up from there. So literally, like, a couple weeks before Drewski drops a skit, we saw Malik B with his own work wife, work husband skit. Mm-hmm. I think it was like involving like scrubs at a hospital or something
like
that.
Yeah, hospital. Same premise. And like I said, he just rocked on Shorty at the end. But
yeah,
it was pretty good.
So essentially, Malik B was on Twitter like the day of Drewski dropping this super viral skit. Like, hey, yo, boy's stealing my whole flow. Like, what's going on? Like, of course. Hey. Of course, you know, the Drewski defenders came out of nowhere telling him, hey, bro, you didn't invent work wife, work husband activities, dog. Like, you're not the one that started this shit. Like, so Malik B said, all right, I'm going to set up my own shit. You know what I'm saying? You thought that was the end of the beef or, you know, whatever you want to call this. But then Drewski's on Breakfast Club this past week, and Charlamagne and DJ Envy straight up ask him, hey, yo, you see what Malik B was talking about? Like, did you steal this man's skit, to steal his idea? And Drewski, you know, he feigned ignorance, you know?
Talking
he was saying, like, bro, nah, dog, I don't steal. Like, why would I steal? And even if I did, like, it was, you know, you're not, so there's plenty of work wife, work husband stuff, you know, going on. Like,
oh, shit. And
also, I don't have, I know that's his flow. You know, that's what he does.
Yeah.
But I don't just do that. You know, I do other stuff. Yeah. So.
Then he ended it with, and let's talk about whose is better. How about that?
I missed that part. Oh. Well, yeah.
Who's he did better? That? Well, that's nasty. No. So
I did want to preface this with, once again, this is a work wife, work husband skits, right? They both take place at a workplace. Mm-hmm. And I think they both end up with the dude going back to his girl at the end of the night.
No. That's what Drewski's joint makes it. Like, I'm not going to lie. I hate to choose sides. Drewski's joint's a lot more hilarious because it's literally everything that is kept at work. The second, like I said, what made Drewski's joint more hilarious or the fact he's leaving the warehouse and he has a whole family waiting out, which shout out to bro that's in the video that told him, like, you have a whole wife, like, doing all this shit. Like, you over here loving up on Shorty. You have a wife, bro. Like, let me have that bitch. But who y'all think was better?
Yeah. Who's? I mean, like, the question is, you know, who's better? Do you think Drewski was stealing? Me personally, hell yeah, this man was stealing.
Oh no.
And I love Drewski. I love Drewski. Yeah, Drewski is the most funny internet comedian of our generation, or this generation.
This is current the first generation. Time he's been accused of this by this person.
And the first time, yeah, exactly. First time he's been accused of anything like this.
All right.
First, really, any controversy.
Give him the pass for this one. Drewski. The second time, it's exactly. Like, all right,
that's true.
Yeah, okay. We're going to give him the pass, but we can still debate or talk about, like, oh, man, my man steals this, you know, he's still flow.
I don't think he stole it. I don't think he stole it. It is very convenient, but I do think Malik's was funnier. Malik's has been doing this for a long time, like you could tell. Like, I watched a lot of Malik's skits because, like, you were talking about how he goes back to his family, but he goes down to, like, the little details of, like, damn, that's crazy. He probably don't even know you're Stein or whatever. Like, he'll talk about, like, fucking Zodiac shit. He'll make sure he's like, oh, I picked up something from Starbucks from you. You know, like, I can't believe your man ain't do that shit for you. Oh, you let him talk to you like that? Like, hey. He does, like, the real super dirty back end shit in his skits, which is like, damn. I mean, shout out to Jim and Pam. He was the OG dirty macker. Everybody's seen that shit. But everyone knows what their work life situation is like, right? That's why fucking work from home sucks. Other than
that, I don't know. Fuck. No.
But I don't think Drewski stole it. I definitely think it is convenient. I think he was popping his shit because Malik coming off like, yo, you see my man stole some shit. That's like a nasty stain because something could have happened there. Like, people could have taken Malik's side right there and been like, damn, Drewski really did that? Are you serious? That's kind of foul. Like, the internet could have flipped him. And that's why I think Drewski's kind of coming at it like, well, fuck it. Who's is better? Like, I'll talk my shit. Drewski is funnier overall, but Malik's work life shit, that's his bag.
He's the only one that can do that type of comedy.
He does it better. I'm not saying he's the only one who can do it, but he did it better than Drewski. Just to answer Drewski's question too, because he was trying to pop his shit like come on, son, like, I'm way more talented. All right, calm down. Like, I haven't seen this side of you, but yeah, I don't know.
Drewski is, in my opinion, like I said, which actually I was about to bring this up real quick because it kind of relates to the last topic with Kevin Hart. I remember Kevin Hart told Drewski that he told him, he said he was a bitch because he didn't step on stage. Do you guys think that, you know, like, these skit comedians, do they really need to, like, can they stay directly in this internet game, or do they really need to go out and go on stage and do all
just
these shows just like that?
Skits,
like,
doesn't mean you can do stand-up comedy. We already talked about Will Smith trying to do stand-up comedy. He's like, you funny, but you ain't stand-up comedy funny. It's a different bag.
Yeah, a whole different
bag. He did do stand-up, though.
Yes, but I saw that his shows are pretty much could have been records like that you see on YouTube just on stage. So it's not like he's really doing stand-up. I just saw a lot of people not even liked it either. And I know like stand-up is kind of like a goal of his. I watched him say that before where like he wanted to like eventually get up there, which I'm sure like you want to kind of elevate yourself and kind of keep mastering that art form of how to be funny and like really telling jokes. But yeah, that's a whole different art. Like you can be funny, but telling jokes, it's like kind of like people almost have to like understand it, get in that world and like receive you as being like smart enough to make them laugh in a weird way. I almost feel like people go to
tell them about it.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I see like the stage work is almost not even just the telling jokes part. It's like having a control over a crowd, right?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
If you talk to anybody that's, you know, been in front, or you've seen interviews when they talk about like performing in front of a crowd, like there's a high that's attached to that, but it's also like just this sort of power and like being able to, you know, manipulate that crowd. And Schultz talks about it. So
yeah.
I haven't seen Drewski do that. Like maybe eventually he'll do that, but you know, for the time being, he's going to keep killing these internet comedy skits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Keep stealing niggas' flows and no one's going to do anything about it.
Yo, all right.
Because to what he said, what I heard from Drewski mouth, I didn't hear who's better. I heard, nigga, I'm too clouded to worry about this small time, nigga. Don't even worry about this shit.
That's what I heard come out of his mouth. The way, remember? He wouldn't say his name on the
interview. Yeah, he's like, oh boy, oh dude, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's real beef attached to this shit.
That's smart.
Hey, if he was, like, if he didn't want to worry about controversy, he could easily just work with him on another skit or something, you know what I'm saying? Like, some low-key shit. But instead, he straight up went out there and almost sent some shots.
Well, he got shots first, didn't he? Like, didn't he get pulled up first and like, oh, this nigga stole my
but,
shit?
But it's
there you go, yeah. Go reversal.
Well, look,
yeah,
that's a fact. But he could have easily got up on Breakfast Club. He probably knew he was going to get asked this. He could have been like, hey, bro, I get inspiration from all over the place. You know what I'm saying? If somebody feels like I stole, hey, bro, like I said, it's just inspiration. There's no copyright attached to this. Mm-hmm. I fuck with everybody's shit.
Well, you say the word inspiration, it's like, all right, nigga, so you stole.
Right. Yeah.
He could have said, because he basically said the same shit anyways. Like,
yeah.
Who's is better?
But
this ain't my only flow. But you know whose flow it is.
He's saying, I want the smoke, essentially. That's what he was trying to say. He was like, I don't give a fuck if you want it. I mean, even like Drewski's like understudy, was it a trap comedian or something? A lot of his skits kind of look like Drewski's shit a little bit. Like, you know, when you're trying to run a two-man, but your man's he's fucking it up or some shit like that. Like, a lot of, even like the way he titles it, like the way they actually look at it, like, what is it? Old heads at work always be the most aggressive, like flirts or some shit. Like the way they obviously have to borrow from one another. So I mean, I don't know.
Real
maybe
quick,
does Trap
have to rely on Drake too much? I saw that like going around and everything, because he does have Drake in a good amount of his skits.
I mean, was that a
use him?
I was about to say, is that a slight? Oh, like, y'all mad? Y'all can't pull Drake for y'all little internet skits. Like, what are we talking about?
Drake gave like Drewski like some early flowers, like when he was doing the whole Kyle Rogger, like the white person voice type of shit. So I mean, yeah, son, that's a great person to have in your arsenal. But this might even fucking give Malik some, I don't know, some visibility now. I don't think that many people are that familiar with him like they are with Drewski.
So. This is
the name on that bullet.
No, hey, yeah, shout out to Malik.
Mm. Shout out to Malik. Shout out to Drewski.
Yeah.
All right, next topic we got is DJ Academics versus Charlamagne. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah. We've touched on this before, but Charlamagne and DJ Academics have a silent beef going on. Y'all saw earlier when he had Charlamagne and Andrew Schulz had Loon on the podcast, and Loon didn't waste a moment to tell you how much that Academics does not provide any value to the culture. And a lot of people felt away because Charlamagne was one of, like, he was kind of like an older brother, like a mentor to Academics. And because he didn't step up, because it almost looked like he was agreeing with a lot of things Loon said, it looked away. And the other thing was Academics saying like, yo, like I've actually been on my pod like 3-4 times. You know, kind of gave me the runaround type of shit. Whereas Schulz and me have kind of been together a bunch of times, like that looks away. Now Academics has kind of taken the reins, like straight up call like Charlamagne a democratic dick sucker, and because he's kind of attacking like this whole, like, Charlamagne has been on this like long-standing rollout for a long time. He's kind of been like dipping in this like political bag of I'm gonna be showing up on like Piers Morgan and having like Vivek and all these other people like showing up to Breakfast Club or even showing up there. One of the things now is like Charlamagne is kind of taking this stance of we need to hold the Democratic Party accountable. And what that comes off is like, I'm pro-Trump or I'm pro-conservative to a lot of people for whatever reason. I don't know why, and I think that was like an easy dunk for academics to say, like, yo, don't try to be the Mr. I'm looking at both sides now. Like, you was riding Kamala Harris, you was riding Joe Biden, shit like that. And that's where they are now. And Charlamagne even recently came out on his latest pod. He was like, yeah, I see y'all responding. Most of y'all my sons. A lot of people know that. And academics said, hey, put a name on that bullet. I don't think that's to me. Now, we know what this is. If y'all watch both content pieces, they are definitely, like, silently beefing right now. Academics has a right to feel away, though. Charlamagne's kind of wrong for
Charlamagne wild out, bro. Said something about say daddy's home or daddy some shit like that. Like, bro, don't call yourself daddy to another man. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's because I look up to you. Just because I think you would call your mentor. This is a problem with the black community, by the way. Does not mean you're my daddy in any sort of way, nigga. Like, what the fuck? Like, nah, bro. Let me see you in person. You're short ass, nigga. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, Charlamagne is tiny. Son. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he does call him big bro and shit like that. I think the reason Charlamagne is kind of avoiding academics is because of this Joe Budden thing. My personal opinion, I can't like really prove it, but I think with academics having such a close relationship with Joe not wasting any moment to shit on Charlamagne, even when Joe went on academics podcast, like Joe went kind of far to kind of say fuck Charlamagne in every capacity. He was kind of like, I don't care. I put his face in the sand every chance I could get, and like, fuck this podcast network. You don't got like any $1 million, whatever. And I feel like Charlamagne is trying to avoid even talking about Joe. And I think he knows academics is going to ask him about Joe no matter what. Like, hey, are y'all ever going to squash this beef? Hey, what do you think about Joe getting this guest? Hey, like, did you ignore this? Like, you can't ignore each other, and I think Charlamagne knows that. That's my theory. I could be wrong, but I don't know what y'all think of fucking.
That's my theory. No, it's just I mean, it's sad. I mean, just a double back on what Roy said, dog. It sucks in the black community. Like, we talk about, you know, trying to uplift each other and trying to do better and trying to, you know, I want to see you grow. I want to see all that, and it's just crazy that all it takes is probably just what, maybe 3 years or so, and then y'all niggas at worst at each other's neck.
Yeah, it's not each other's necks, bro. And like, the point, remember where academics was calling Charlamagne the number one, like, in the field, like, for a minute. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy.
To Joe's face, too.
Yeah. And academics is right. Like, Charlamagne is a Democratic dick sucker. Like, I mean,
Look, man.
At this point, this is the election is coming up and shit.
Bro, no, because you have to keep that shit to yourself. We can fix the Democratic Party after Biden wins. Not before the election. Like, what are we doing? Like, let me put them on notice right now. No, dog, you were over there having Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton. Fad, like, you talked to so many different people. Like, Angela Rye was your dog. None of this stuff makes sense. Like, you can't now flip in and be like, well, actually, the Democratic Party doesn't care about black people, neither do the Republicans. But one of them are more racist, so, but that's neither here nor there.
No, I think that stance of holding your politician accountable can hurt, only because if you're trying to make one side win, of course you're going to feel that way, but I get what he's getting at. And the other day, Charlamagne has a big fucking influence, whether you like it or not. Like, you have a draw. Unfortunately, you might not be the most politically savvy person, but he probably will be the one to influence a lot of people to vote that are, like, in the middle, because it's not really the people that are, like, you're not going to convince the other side. You're going to convince the people that are in the middle. You're going to convince the people that are, like, unsure of voting, so... That's why he is kind of like important, and that's why I think he is kind of like a person that the Democratic people lean on. Like, when they introduced him, they talked about all this controversy and stuff, but people love him. He is a, as he says, a fucking New York Times bestseller and shit like that. So,
Is it two times?
Man. I listen to both books, so
I listen to both books.
I'm a fan of Charlamagne.
What's up with this nigga?
I'm a fan of Charlamagne, though. I don't know. Like,
I haven't
been a fan of that nigga in like a couple of years now, bro. I'm sorry.
That's a fact.
I'm sorry. This, and I understand completely. I'm all about, you know, self-preservation, but it's perfectly in my right as a fan to be like, all right, once you go that route, like, hey, I see what you're doing, but. Come on, dog. And like, you, like, when we watched the Home Run University episode, and they're playing that All Right Andy shit, and I get that clip Charlamagne talking about what abortions are to him.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different guy right there, bro.
What'd he say? Or are you down? No, rather you not repeat?
Yeah, I would definitely rather
okay.
not repeat.
Okay, no. I'm not. That's why I was like, let me stop you. I don't want us to get us canceled. Like, don't repeat it. You know, we don't got that type of platform.
It's just rough watching them get stomped out of debates. And yeah, that's what people do. So this might not be your look. But I mean, give him some time, son. This ain't been his bag for a while. So yeah. Shout out to Charlamagne, son.
All right, moving on to the last topic in internet culture. So the thing is has her final episode. Now you guys are big components of the show. What do you got to say about what Manny was talking
big
about?
Big proponents on this show.
Yeah, like, that's nasty.
Look, man, I watched a couple of episodes to see the thing is. Shout out to Mandy, man. You know, yeah, I know DeAndre was really against her the last time we discussed her. He kept saying she was the problem or whatever like that.
I disagree.
But it seemed like... It seemed like she's the one that was kind of keeping the show afloat. Essentially, they had their last episode today. They kind of went over. They mentioned a lot of the things people were kind of curious about. But it kind of does seem like they ended on things amicably. They did talk about Joe Budden, which a lot of people were like curious of. Are they going to mention like the start or the inception of the podcast? Which they did. They said they weren't getting that much money on the Joe Budden thing, which really? You know. I'm going to push back there. I almost feel like they paid you to show up and have access to their audience, and they definitely paid you. But I think what they're really saying is, like, we obviously ended up getting, like, a better deal and making a lot more money when we kind of control what the show was bringing in, even though Joe Budden was apparently still making money off of them. So I can't say, like, we weren't getting any money. The other thing that I was kind of right on was the whole, you know, they were upset about not getting Savon and Alex, and they still call him Screen Man, which I think is, we got to
respect
him. That's disrespectful.
At this point,
call him his name, bro. He's like, they were upset they didn't get quote unquote Screen Man in the divorce from the Joe Budden network. But that was a little strange. But the only thing I was talking about was there was an episode where Mandy had actually talked about how do you make a podcast succeed with somebody when you're having issues, when you feel like you're the one that's driving the show to succeed and you feel like you're doing everything to make it work, but then you have to split the profits 50-50. She said this in an episode, I think, when Rory showed up for that, you know, how do you do business with your friends and shit. And what you saw in this like last episode, at least what I drew from it, was that, yeah, I'm the accounting and I'm maybe worrying about like the studio and I'm worrying about everything else that goes into the show. And because of that, I'm not about to keep splitting these profits with Bridget. Respect to Bridget and everything like that. I like Bridget Kelly. I think she's great. But I think that's what I mainly drew from this, where I'm like, okay, I can 100% agree with Mandy there. Mandy is kind of bringing a name for herself. You know, we see her beefing with Jess Hilarious now too. Salute. But I'm curious what she's going to do next.
You messy. Come on. Don't lie. But, you know.
but she, I mean, that's here nor there. But what's it called? I don't know what is to come next. I don't know where Bridget Kelly is going to go. I don't think she's going to be like doing her own show per se. I could see Bridget Kelly jumping on with somebody else, but I could see Mandy doing a spinoff with another host. So I don't know. Did anyone else listen to the thing is breakdown?
No, I mean, I heard some little whisperings going around and all that stuff, saw some stuff. But like I said, the biggest part, it seems like, is you can't run a podcast and do all the stuff, work for the podcast, and then split it 50-50. But to me, that's, you know, business discussions, business planning, really. That's what that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's initial, like, when we're coming together with the podcast, deciding who's going to do what and what that comes with. So for you to complain about it at this point, it's kind of weird to me, like, to say, like, well, I'm not going to do this shit anymore because, you know, you're not doing the work. And if I'm going to do it, I'm taking 75%. You get 25%. When it's like, but if we got successful and then we could hire people to do that work. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that doesn't, it's, come down to,
like, at the end of the day, it just comes down to whether or not you're trying to work hard enough to make this thing, you know, take off, or if you just don't see it going anywhere and it's like, it's too much work. It's not worth the effort. So that's where they're at this point. You know, shout out to Mandy and shout out to Bridget. Like you said, hopefully they can land on their own projects. It does seem like Mandy is going to do something. It does seem like her name's out there enough to beef with Jess Hilarious. The fact that she's not ending the beef either. She's saying, meet me up in person.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, seems like it's like she is out there. You know what I'm saying? Bridget, you know, I'm a team Bridget, but this might be, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't sound like you got anything going on. I hope you do, but it sounds like you're trying to chill out. But, you know, chill out to them.
Was any of that true that Bridget wasn't doing half the work that Mandy was doing? Is it?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I remember, I mean, I don't know if it's not true or not. I know that Mandy was pretty much explaining that she does a lot for the pod. Like, she runs the accounting and things like that and has to worry about the studio. And before that, she had mentioned this as, like, how do you feel like when you're having internal problems, like, how do you go about it when you want to split the profit 50-50? The thing is, it's like, when you're starting a podcast, this is a weird thing, though, because I would think these would already be established, like Roy said, especially because you guys started on the Joe Budden Network. Like, when you're starting a podcast, I think you're trying to do everything you can to make shit successful. Like, I'm not looking at someone to play a role immediately. I'm like, damn, what can I contribute to and how is this going to work? That's kind of your end goal, is to kind of like fucking build an audience and can we keep the show running and stuff, and like how long can we sustain it? Now, maybe those things have to be discussed later on, but it does come off a little strange that their studio setup is beautiful. Camera quality, everything is like actually excellent. I'm not going to lie. Like, even watching that episode today, I'm like, damn, like they... okay, like they know what they're doing. It's always sad to see a podcast break up, but yeah, like you said, Mandy B probably might be the only one that's gonna pull out of this. Bridget Kelly said she's like engaged now, so I could see her kind of like falling back from, you know, just the media spotlight again and stuff like that. So there's that. But yeah, you know, RIP. See, the thing is, man, like, you guys will be missed, honestly. But,
It's like, I'm a big fan of the show. What happened?
Oh, tremendous.
We like the personalities, though, bro. We've been said that. Like, I don't have a problem with Mandy. I don't have a problem with Bridget. They're both good at what they do. It's just the show didn't work out.
Yeah. That was, is Horrible Decisions also about to be out of here?
Nah. I think Horrible Decisions is just, there's so much that they did right with that. The branding of that is so good. Like, they like, you've seen, you went to the show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Like,
yeah,
you can't get that show anywhere else, bro. Very uncomfortable, but very there's horny. A market for that show. Like, oh, yeah, super horny ass was black
sexually
women.
Sexually repressed women.
And men. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
there you go.
Shout out to them. Shout out to DeAndre.
Yeah.
Oh, nah. Don't. Shout that was crazy.
Show was fire. Watch a man get spanked on stage. Like, I'm trying to go next.
That is insane.
All right, moving on to movies and TV. Since the last podcast, Avatar: The Last Airbender has finally dropped on Netflix. Now, we were talking about this before when it was announced, saying we had pretty high hopes because of One Piece. And this show was looking pretty good. They had some good casting. They had the original creators behind them. And then, come to find out, the original creators dropped out due to creative differences. And I can tell why. Because half of the shit that they did for the original cartoon is not shown here. So I got to finish all 8 episodes. I know, I think Roy and Abdul, you watch episode 1, and Merle, you finish it?
Like halfway of 8, but we can go ahead and get to it.
So you were defending this show because I was talking shit about it. So I'm really interested to hear what you liked about this show and why do you think it's not trash? Or not just trash, but like, not that's good.
I was talking all that good shit. I ain't gonna lie. I gotta step back because, you know, when I was defending it, you know, I was like, episode 2. I'm like, nah, man, it looks cool. It's high. It's not that bad. And then I like, keep progressing. I'm like, damn. And I mean, like I said, I don't even know. Like I said, the acting on there, mad subpar. There's only a few character roles on it that smoke it. We talked about it in pre-pro. I'm sorry. Aang's pussy in the show, but like in this live action, he's pussy, and I'm not a fan of that shit. That shit is crazy. I'm sorry. Like, it's horrendous. Like I said, I don't want to keep ripping. Do you want me to keep ripping, or do you want to go with
you
your take?
You were supposed to say positive things about the show.
Yeah, I was trying to. Liked it, yeah, so. Like,
I tried to, but then I'm like, yeah, nah, this ain't it.
I will defend it from the 3 episodes I watched.
That is nasty. You can't.
I'm gonna try to. Me personally, I thought the casting looked pretty good. Aang, to me, Aang kills it. The casting for Aang, which, you know, they do a lot of times, the main character, I think they kill it. His mannerisms, you've seen, he looks like Aang to me, sounds like Aang to me. He's questioning like his role in the world and being Avatar.
Nigga, Caillou looks like Aang. Is that mean like the Avatar?
Come on, so I'm talking. I said mannerisms, nigga. Like, come on now. Like, he's acting like a kid, like Aang was. Like, come on. Like, I know all y'all like Super Avatar fans are mad this man was flying in the first episode, but to me, I don't really care about that much. I'm not looking at that too often. Like, I'm looking at the show for what it is because there's 8 episodes. Like, this ain't your 24 episodes. This isn't book 1. This is not like a bar for bar replica with just live action. No, this is the same thing with the One Piece. Y'all are giving us a live action version, and they're trying to do their best to like impart everything, you know, into this one little 8-episode box or whatever. But like I said, to me, CGI was iffy, like in some of them scenes, especially when like they're in the water and like trying to like.
I'm gonna roll with you. That's probably the one perk,
the best part about this. Yeah,
the CGI. No, CGI was good in parts, but iffy in other parts. Like you said, the acting definitely. You know, I mean, it's kid acting, bro. Like we can't. It's kid acting. Like we can only ask for so much. And then I like the demonstrations of the powers. They were often people.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I thought y'all.
That, that is true.
Like, I thought y'all. Would I did. Like that.
They were cursing in there.
I don't even. Yeah. Like, why are we cursing?
What cursing?
This is a little small stuff, nothing crazy, but it's just, you know, it's a different flavor from the TV show.
It's a very different flavor, and I'm the one that's always saying I don't want a bar-for-bar, scene-for-scene adaptation of the cartoon, because it's just not going to work out. Like, it's like having the cartoon to live-action, bar-for-bar is never going to work out. What they did do well was that casting. Uncle Iroh, I liked Zuko, I liked Katara for the most part, and I liked Suki, and I liked the Fire Lord. All good casting. There were like some questionable things. Like I think one of the things Avatar does well is that they incorporate like the girl boss energy. Like, I hate seeing that in Marvel. I hate seeing that in like my True Detective shows. But I think in Avatar, it's like the one place it's done well. Like,
oh, if it, in a kid show, it fits.
Yeah, it actually really fits. It. It's done really well. Like in the very first episode, it's Katara and Sokka, and Sokka saying like, "Yo, you're a girl." Blah blah blah. He gets schooled at Kyoshi Island. He dads that fucking attitude real quick. Katara gets us to the Water Tribe, and she can't train. And she proves to herself that, like, she proves to the master that I can. That's represented here, but it's done super poorly. Because she goes to fight Master Paco and loses. But then she's now a master somehow. Like, she fights this master and loses. And now everybody's calling her Master Katara. I was like, you learn waterbending from a scroll? Like four times. What are we doing? What is that? And then the one some other things I have a fucking problem with. They introduce key characters into these loose ass fucking roles. Just make absolute no sense. Like only the Avatar can go into the spirit world, but yet they drag Katara and Sokka in there with them because plot. They introduce the owl, which is a key like character in like book two for the secret library. What are you gonna do now? You know? And then they introduced the Ko, the Face Stealer, as like a main protagonist, like antagonist for that one episode. Aang has to leave and talk to Avatar Roku, and now the whole episode has to do with like, all right, well, Aang, this is how I defeated him. No, you didn't. You didn't defeat him. Like, it's a spirit. What are we like? Why are you changing these key concepts that don't need to be changed? Like, it's just one scene that's good, but this doesn't need to be like a whole like episode. Like, why change that?
That did kind of throw me off that they threw Ko in there about that, because even just going into detail about that nigga and his mom, like that's the type of stuff that they don't even, which I mean, I was actually slightly impressed that they did kind of dive into that, because that's shit that's like in like the comics, like after, you know, the Great War, after like Avatar initially, because that's when they go on a quest to try to find Zuko's mom. Spoiler, she had her face swapped by old boy's mom. So I actually did like that attention to detail that I actually did put that in there. And I'm sorry to piggyback, I'm flip-flopping, y'all know how I do. I did actually like the choreography for her and Paku's fight. It was actually damn near almost verbatim, just like how the animated scene was. Especially when she started throwing the ice and all that shit, and then Brad did the dodge joint, and you could see the reflection. He looked back at her crazy, like there were some moments in that joint where it's like, I'm not killing it all the way, but they do things right,
like the fighting, like, shout out to Zuko. I really enjoy Zuko's fighting.
Zuko smoke.
Yeah. Smoke. Way better than the fucking movie. But one thing that they just can't get, like, just can't let go is, like, they obliterated Azula. Like, that's not Azula from the show at all. Like, Azula's supposed to be, like, a manipulator. She does none of that. Like, she's supposed to manipulate Mei and Ty Lee into joining her cause. And they're just there in the background, like, yay, go Azula, you can do it, type of shit. And it's like, that's not at all what supposed to be. So how are you gonna justify that in the later seasons when they leave her to join the Avatar squad? Like, how are you gonna
fair enough. It's a tad bit all over. I mean, honestly, I ain't gonna lie, let me go ahead and scroll up my notes, because like I said, I did take some pointers or some things that kind of pissed me off, I'm not gonna lie.
Abdul, you watch episode one, what did you think of it?
Not I actually thought like the way it started was really intense. I like that the whole Fire Lord Nation, like them showing that origin story and stuff, like how they actually like took out the whole Airbender family and shit. Even like what Roy was saying, like I like the choreography of how they actually applied like firebending and things like that. And to see people die was really cool. It's
like people get burned alive with
Scooby. It was great until they started showing like Aang and stuff talk, and I'm like, okay, I kind of see where the misfires are happening right now. And I don't know. I don't want to kill the show. I think what you're describing is they probably shot their load too early, maybe in the hopes that they'll even get a season two. So like, let's cram as much as we can to hopefully like make sure like we have things to look forward to as well. Or like at least introduce certain characters now so we can like explore the story in a different realm. That's my thought to it right now. But yeah, I don't know. Or the action isn't bad. I think the other difference is that you guys might be watching the show with the barometer of the One Piece live action, and I'm more looking at it from the movie. My expectations were so low for this that I'm like, I don't even know if I can be disappointed at this point. Like, it only has to do so much right for me to enjoy this shit. So I'm not hating it right now, but I feel like my opinion is going to change. Episode one was cool. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, yeah. I'm like, I don't like the casting either, though.
And let's not act like the One Piece live action wasn't off-putting at certain moments too, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's just
live action shows for us when it comes to like, you know, going from an animated show where you can do anything to this live action, seeing a real face, like it's hard right now in this generation. It's hard. So I think it is like you just gotta just kind of almost shut certain parts of your brain off to even watch it in the first place. It's weird because like you're gonna compare and you're gonna be like, yeah, this ain't that. And especially when that is from 20 years ago, so you're like, I know you guys watch it, you know, recently from time to time, but at the end of the day, like that was a minute ago, you know.
Yeah, I don't
like
remember
Avatar.
I don't remember a lot of the details y'all are saying.
Oh,
either
nigga, like, that shit is embedded up here. Like I said, it was that it's nuts. I mean, it's crazy. Like I said, yeah, they were just all over. Like I said, just even the whole core concept of Aang being able to just with these statues, which I mean, I thought it was all right, but it's whatever. Just seeing these statues, you know, automatically going to the spirit world. All places have these, you know, portal statues. I'm like, whatever. June, I'm on June's body. I'm going to keep saying that. I liked her actress. I'm a fan of hers. And also, Sokka's joint wasn't that bad either. Sokka's, I think, was probably the best, like, portrayal character wise, because he's got that nice, and he got that butt, that weird like off chin that Sokka has, that long chin shit. Well, I thought it was like a butt chin, but it's more like a long chin, like this chin long and shit and all that shit. But
I feel bad for DeAndre because you were the most excited for this. The last time we talked about this, I remember saying how like skeptical I was of the show, and you were a big proponent of like, nah, they have a lot of the fans and the creators of the cartoon like incorporated in this. I'm like, all right, man, I'll shut up, like wait and see type of thing.
Stop being excited for stuff.
The consensus on the show is kind of weird, though. It's kind of split. I don't really feel like people hate it all the way. People have complaints, but I don't feel like people.
And I don't want to make it seem like I hate it all the way. Like they do a lot of things good, but if you're just going to compare it from the movie to this, like, okay, like obviously the fucking show is way better. But if you're gonna copy the show, but compare from the show to this, is like, I got some problems with some things, because like, let's say you do get a season two, how's that gonna work out now? You know, because you introduced these characters that should be in season two and season one, and it's like, it's not gonna make sense that they're here now. Like, for instance, like when they do like the love tunnel thing, why is that between Sokka fucking
Her guitar.
They're brother and sister. There is no chemistry between Aang and Katara, literally whatsoever. I'm not even convinced they like each other, bro. Like,
I mean, but that's how the show was too, to start off, like book one. Like, no, he's taller than him.
What
like,
is that?
No. Like, she's like 3 years older than him.
I'm defending this. No,
he showed interest.
Exactly.
In her. This man had no interest in girls in general. He was just a kid, which is fine. But I'm saying, like, if you're expecting to get more seasons, you have to eventually show, like, all right, they have like an interest in each other. So I'm saying, like
she real out treat that nigga like little bruh. Like,
yeah,
because
Katara's mom figure. That's one thing I didn't like about Katara. She was missing that. She was missing this energy that she had. Like you said, Sokka vibe was completely right, but Katara's was almost too soft. Like, Katara's not that soft.
Oh, the show. That's a fact. Even just even how Aang opened up. Like, if you remember from the anime, she got pissed off and cracked the whole joint over. I don't even remember how they did that joint in the show, but it was. I just remember it trash.
She was pissed off in the show. In the show, she was literally trying to pull the boat to them because the boat was about to drift off. So she starts to pull the boat, and then somehow that cracks the rock, the ice. But anyways.
I mean, I was just going to add one side note to this was at least one thing to look forward to is you do have that future Avatar, like the adult cartoon, like where Aang and everybody are is like an adult now. So at least you have something else to look forward to in the Avatar realm. I'm surprised they like really kind of revived this. Like this was a really popular
series. I mean, the other spinoff.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to...
And that's kind of books.
It got canceled, right? It got canceled like two seasons or something. It's over. It got taken off Nickelodeon or TV because of how it ended. If you know, you know.
Lesbians.
Pretty much, lesbian. Yeah, lesbian vibes.
So this also dives into our next topic. Apparently, there's going to be a live-action Naruto. The announcement came from Lionsgate in 2015. It's going to follow. Well, we don't know what it's going to follow. We have no idea what the story is going to be. But we do know it's going to be a movie, and a director or a writer is going to be the dude from Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, which was a good movie. But
I like that movie.
I don't know how you get 700 episodes in a 2-hour, 3-hour span of a movie. So already there's a lot of red flags here. Naruto has like, I don't know, like 6-7 arcs just in like the first like, what, 200 episodes? So I don't know how that's going to fit into all this. I think everyone's trying to chase that One Piece success, and I don't think this is the right way to do it. But there's no script, there's no nothing. It's just an idea that's been floating around since 2015. They just got a director, and I guess he's writing the script now. But Merle, Roy, what do you guys think? You guys want a Naruto movie?
Nah, I don't want a Naruto live action movie. I can't even see myself really wanting a live action TV series of Naruto. Like, it's such there's so much like fantasy involved in Naruto. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the fact that it's just a blonde hair, blue eyed kid that's a ninja. You know, this would be crazy to see on the screen. Like, I don't. So now I'm not
proud.
I mean, we're not gonna talk about that, but
we are not. I'm sorry.
He said it was based off of Super Saiyans, but anyways, I'm not looking forward to it, because I think this is, like you said, there's no way it can work out. There's like the Avatar one, at least you're gonna like, if you scrunch it down to 8 episodes, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, from 24 or whatever, that's, we can make something work from there, just like the One Piece. One Piece was even, you know, One Piece was hard too. Like, that was, how many chapters was that they scrunched down their episode?
It's a whole
scrunched
down
into like 8. It's like a whole arc they just scrunched down, like mad characters they left out. So same thing's gonna happen with Naruto. We know Naruto is an emotional story, you know what I'm saying? We want all the emotional beats, especially in the first half, the Naruto Shippuden episodes, like, or scenes, like, it's like Naruto on the swing, you know, Naruto fighting for Sasuke after he thinks Sasuke's gonna die against Haku. You know what I'm saying? Like, Naruto and Sasuke fighting together. The entire Chunin exams. The Gaara arc. Like, you can't, there's no way you're gonna scrunch that all into one movie, and we're gonna be able to feel like every single emotional beat that's supposed to come with a shonen anime. I don't see it.
No, I was just going to add, I was like, before Shippuden, like, the main thing was the Gaara arc, and then, like, him, I think it kind of ended toward him fighting Sasuke, like, that first fight they had. I'm only picturing the movie of, like, what if it, like, started that way with Naruto and Sasuke fighting, and then they kind of do, like, a flashback sequence so you can ignore, like, the whole training and stuff aspect of Naruto, and they ignore, like,
how you can't. You can't, because it's all a part of his character arc. Naruto is a shitty ninja. Like, that was a big part of the show, is he's a shitty ninja. No one likes him. He's like ostracized from everybody. Like, it's like you need all of that so you can build him up to the person that he's gonna be. Like, it's tough to just pull out, like you said, like, it's just like fast forward, and let's say it's Team 7, right? It's Naruto, Sakura, and Sasuke with Kakashi, and they're trying to figure out how, and they just, we go straight into like the Haku and Zabuza arc, right? Like, why does Naruto care about these people? You know what I'm saying? Like, why? So, like, it's
I think that could work.
I was just trying to think.
Go ahead. I think that.
I was just thinking, could it start from the Naruto Sasuke? Could it start from the Naruto Sasuke fight and then peel back and do that? That way you can at least capture the certain key elements of everything before Shippuden and then kind of at least give us like a story to follow, because obviously we're not going to capture everything in the original Naruto. You can't, right? And I'm one of the people where I'm like willing to forgive the whole Kakashi training and everything else and how they learned like their actual abilities and things like that. I would rather them kind of tell us the story of like how it led to him fighting his best friend type of shit. I'm just kind of like theorizing what a possible plot could be. That's the only thing
that
I'm
wasn't
saying,
like
so.
That was one of the plots. Yeah,
it's a big plot point, but like
it's a big
you
plot
can't
point,
just but... get there and not be like, all right, how do we get here? All right, like you understand?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But look, I'm the guy that said like you can make a Spider-Man movie, you know what I'm saying, and skip past the origin story.
You can.
I think that works that way. I don't know, for some reason with this, like it's just shonen, man. Shonen anime, like they put so much care into building that world up, making you care about these characters. His goal is to be the Hokage. Like you're trying to figure out how that's even possible. And then along the way he has to go save his best friend. And bro, like the Sasuke retrieval arc.
Fire.
Come on, bro. Yeah. You can't just crunch that up and like maybe you can do like 1, 2, 3, 4 movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, multiple
but even then
work.
that sounds unrealistic at the same time.
I think the way this is gonna work is that you do, you know, origin, show Naruto, but don't spend too much on the origin. And it leads into just Zabuza and Haku. Just that's how it ends. That's it. That's it. That's how the movie ends. That's the only way I can see this ever working because what's after Haku and fucking Zabuza? It's a fuck.
Chunin exam.
You're not fitting that into a 2-hour-long movie.
Have the ending lead into that, like, yeah, or just have like at least the Chunin exam start.
That's the only way I see this even working. I think most of the fans would be like, all right, I'll next movie, cool.
What you think that budget gonna be for that CGI? Because I mean, we are talking about a ninja show where it's talking about flying kunai, shuriken, walking on water, walking
clones,
on buildings,
clones,
shadows,
lightning,
fireball. Like, nigga, like there's a lot that you know has
you
to be covered
come
in
up
this. That's
right
what I'm
now,
like.
It's not gonna be good. The CGI is just not gonna be good. That's what we have to deal with.
About, yeah.
It's gonna be so mediocre. It's like just get out your head right now. So it's not gonna be good.
No, because the CGI for Avatar is good. Like it's just certain points. And I feel like Naruto can be certain points to be good, but there's gonna be certain points where it's gonna be rough. Like I'm real saying, Kakashi trying to do his water dragon. You're not gonna hit that, bro.
But nigga doing the Sharingan. Fuck all the bullshit.
That's what I was
gonna
say. That's gonna be tight as fuck to see. I want to see that at least in the live action. That is one thing I'm gonna be like, kind of like, all right, I don't care.
But
like, I'll watch it.
But the one thing Naruto does have is they got hands. So if you get somebody like
that's
the raid director up in there, you get the raid director, and then we doing this straight hand. Like, have we all seen like
the Shang-Chi director,
the live action shit that people done did on like YouTube where they do the like little hand to hand fighting? That shit can be crazy. Like that, they could definitely kill that. It's just, bro, you gonna have a 16-year-old actor, and he's gonna have to act in 4 different movies over like a 5 to 6 year span. Like, I don't know.
The movie will be a C at best. Like at best, if we get a D.
My hopes for it is so low that it can only do good, you know. Like as long as it's not like, you know, how Death Note was, I think we're in a good place.
My god, don't ever.
As long as we're in a good place.
Why is that still a thing? Like, do we need to sign a petition to be like, yo, let anime stay the fuck anime? Because they're batting like it's like 0-15, bro, or however many. There's like one that we said on, and that was Peace. But other than that, like you said, the Bleach joint. In a way, it counts. I'll let that slide.
Ryan Reynolds,
I heard wasn't bad.
What are you talking about?
Now, Ryan Ray spoke that joint. And they're doing a number 2. But I mean, you're talking about Death Note, Bleach, Full Metal Alchemist.
Those are those Japanese movies. Those Japanese movies never do that well.
Yeah, don't.
They don't ever do that well.
But just still, just don't do a movie rendition. Leave that shit the fuck alone. Leave it there. Like, find something else to do. Add another arc. Do something, bro. But just leave anime animated, bro. It's not gonna work.
So that's not gonna work, man. You see what these superhero movies are doing. You see what the box office they're bringing.
Oh,
in.
God.
Now you see these video game movies doing the same thing. Knuckles just got a spinoff. So.
Yeah,
watch him out. That Knuckle Jungle will be fire. I'm reporting on that one. Yeah. Oh, okay, all right, cool. I thought I was bash right.
No,
now.
That's not bash.
Easy now.
I'm gonna watch Naruto movie. I am gonna say that. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Definitely, I will watch it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I had to sleep that one.
So forced. I give it to you.
Watch it,
Trey. There we go.
So I did something for gaming news. I don't know if Abdul, you had anything that you want to discuss about it, or you want to skip it.
I mean, we could skip it. Yeah, nothing big. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the last thing.
Pause.
Okay. Last thing we got is what's on your mind. I have one to get one for you guys. What I was thinking about while I was sitting in my garage. If you could pick any concert, bro, if you go back in time and pick any concert from any person, who would you go see and what concert tour would it be? For me, it would be the Bob Marley Exodus tour. And I would love to see like the Motown performance from Michael Jackson when they first did the moonwalk.
Oh, yeah.
You throw your man to on stage for that?
Yeah.
Because he had them flocking.
Yeah, people fainting, too. Michael Jackson would be everyone's
and
choice.
Not for nothing, it would also, son, the 50 Cent at the MTV Spring Break, son, that shit looks so fire on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I would go crazy at that shit.
Early 50, I would lose my mind. I would want to, I mean, because he's dead, I would want to see, like, the early Tupac or something like that. I kind of want to see the shirt off Tupac type of shit going crazy. All Eyes on Me.
That's not a bad one.
I don't know. Like, that would actually be kind of cool to, like, go watch live. Because he, like, even, like, looking back at old videos, his performances look pretty nuts. Michael Jackson, too. Needless to say, Michael Jackson would be
You got to throw DMX in there, too.
Oh, yeah, DMX.
That joint where he had everybody singing, stop. Drop to be in that crowd, that shit look immaculate. That was fire.
Never.
I would pick somebody that's alive and someone that I wish I actually did see that I probably had a chance to see that I just didn't buy a ticket for. I would see Kanye West on the Glow in the Dark tour. That was for, I believe that was for 808s and Heartbreak. Mm. Or the Life of Pablo tour when he's like the stage above the ground. And
I thought,
like,
that was the Yeezus tour, the stage above the ground.
That's Life of Pablo. That's right when, because Kim got kidnapped during that, during the Kanye.
That's crazy that you connect that.
Yeah, because it was during the tour because he was freaking out on stage when he was talking about it.
Oh,
but
shit.
That was when he, they dropped, what's the song with, shit, I can't remember the song.
Father Stretch My Hands, too.
Father Stretch My Hands. The crowd is crazy. Like, yeah. That I wish I had. I could have bought that ticket for sure.
That's a good tour.
Nah, that's a good
tour. Dang, you guys don't want to see Elton John at Dodger Stadium? Go.
That would be tight. See fucking early in WA.
Yeah.
If anything, it'd be like Queen. Only because I've seen the movie and the performance looked big.
The Band-Aid.
So I need to make music for a stadium.
Yeah.
Would y'all see an Elvis show? Or is he not a...
Hey,
don't you ever get on this black platform, man. Blast niggas. Lost you guys Elvis?
There? The King of Rock.
It's Black History Month still, Abdul.
Yeah. You want to see the people he stole from? Yeah.
James Brown.
I don't want to see that movie. They do make that clear that he stole it. Like, I just want to say that movie was good, but they made it clear that, like,
well, you didn't go on stage for every performance and say, hey, shout out to James Brown. My number one.
Shout out to the nigga I stole this from.
Bro, yeah. Not even a performance, but like, even if I was old enough, got to see like an old boxing match of like Mike Tyson or something, or fucking Muhammad Ali, that would be fire too.
I don't know.
In the ring and see fucking Mike Tyson bite that man's ear off, son. I would have been fire.
Evander Holyfield, that's crazy.
I would have been fire.
Nah, that was a beast. I don't know. I would actually been blown to go see Mike. That nigga was knocking niggas out in like the first like fucking 5 minutes of his show. You know how Andrew B.
I've never seen him get knocked
fucking
out.
Vegas,
I would love to see that, son.
Yeah,
nigga, watch his clips.
Like, no, I'm talking about like real life. I've never seen him in real life getting knocked out. So,
oh, okay,
that'd be kind of fun to see.
But I would want to see the shit talking Muhammad Ali, like literally hyping up the crowd or talking in interviews and shit. Like, I'm like jealous my dad or anybody else be talking about that. Like, they got to huddle around the TV and watch him. I'm like, damn, son, that wasn't old enough at all.
You would say Muhammad Ali. I'm pretty. I'm a bad man. yeah, that's your bag, man. I can see.
Everybody's favorite, bro. But yeah.
Do you guys have any questions? Breaking questions?
I have one small one. What's the worst gift your girl gave you ever?
Oh, damn. I can't remember what the gift was, but I remember, she tells me this all the time. She used to tell me all this time. She'd be like, you told me I gave you a bad gift. And so ever since then, I've been subconscious. And I try to make sure I give you a good one.
That's crazy.
I don't remember what it was, but I was like, what? I was tight, bro. I was like, this is what you got. Yeah. I was like, I got you this crazy shit. Like, now it's at a point where we get each other such good stuff every year that we literally don't remember, and we literally don't even use the gifts. And then we come back and like use the gift during the year, like, oh shit, yo, the shoes you got me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Give me a bad gift. Give bad gifts. I've bought so much shit that it's just sitting in a closet, or I've had to throw the fuck away. You know, just don't get used. But I've actually never got a bad gift. I get really good gifts. But I guess I get bad gifts.
Wow, she's not gonna listen, DeAndre. She's not gonna listen.
No, she's outside the door.
No, that is true. He's home with her. I got two in a row.
Oh, nice.
So two in a row.
I got two in a row. No, I think the only thing that made it bad was that it was propped up. So I do try to like be clear on like what you like or something like that. You know, like, what are you really into? What is something I know that's going to hit home? Whether it's like dealing with like your zodiac sign or some shit I know is going to apply to you. So I do care. But what happened to me was, for some reason, you know, this gift was like something I couldn't wait for. Like, I'm going to lose my mind when I see it type of shit. And lo and behold, Valentine's Day came and I opened it and it was just like a picture of us together in a frame and something.
Oh, you had, were like, sick.
Pop smoke song underneath it that said like, what you know about love. It was like a cool thing, but I'm like, is this cock block machine is what you got me? This
cock block machine. That's crazy. Yes, cock block.
Oh my god. Evidence number one.
And then the same year on my birthday, like, she hyped it up again. Like, I don't think I would care if it was just a gift you gave me, but like the fact that you build it up as like, oh my god, you're gonna love this, bro. Like, this was okay, are you ready? Close your eyes. And then she turns her phone over and it's an animated picture of us together that she paid for us. That was my birthday gift. I got her Apple Watch. I was like, what the fuck is
this? Yo, you've been through so much, King. Wow. That is what crazy. Happened?
But you got two pictures? That's crazy. No.
Two pictures, dude, in the same year.
Oh, the same year? Okay.
She could have used a better caption. Yeah, she could use a better caption, too. You could say, he liked the way I woo. That would have been a better caption.
So you know what you got to do then, right? That
would have been better.
It could have been anything.
You know what you got to do then, right?
Do the same.
Well, just gotta get her a picture, but just, you know, just something that you like. Like, put her in Dragon Ball Z or something like that. Like, look, this is for both of us.
Turn his light in the picture.
You just need to do what I did, you know? Just tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I was gonna say, well, Roy said he admitted it was bad. I didn't. I was like, oh, wow, dang. Like, I don't know if that's like...
I mean, it's being a good gift giver. It's not hard to tell when someone doesn't like your gift. I think it's pretty obvious, you know what I'm saying?
I put that acting on. Oh, word? Oh my god. Like, yo, I was just thinking about getting something like this.
But it's not the reaction you give to what you get when someone's like truly like, oh, hell yeah.
Appreciate
like,
it.
Mm. They'll start listing the stuff they can do with this shit. Like, where they can wear it at, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you can tell they're excited.
Put it on their foot. They'll like, you got this in my, this is my size? No, no, no. How you gonna put that shit like, on? Like, that not this. I can't wait to put this on my dresser.
Wait, where's the frame picture at? Because I definitely haven't seen that at your crib.
That shit is somewhere hanging on the wall. Like, not even hanging on the wall. It's in like a cabinet, and like, I put it away. And I told her it's because it died. Like, the light stopped working. It didn't die. It just wasn't.
That's why it's a really good battery.
It's awesome. Solar power. Power.
Yeah, the thing about the animated picture was like, it would have been cool if it was actually like a thing, like a physical animated picture, but it was a picture on her phone that she turned around and texted.
She texted it to you?
Literally a gift as a gift.
dog.
For a birthday present is crazy. I'm sorry. You went through a lot, Cam. That is nuts. I'll be like, nigga, if you don't get the fuck out of my face.
Bro, what did I get to get?
Oh shit, I was trying to avoid me.
Why?
This nigga got me a pillow.
Please stop calling this woman a nigga.
Of us.
Like it's kids.
All right. This lady got me a goddamn photo or got me a pillow, like a little small pillow, like shapely and all of us like together, like at this fucking joint. I was just like, nigga. Like, I can't even lay my head on this shit. Like, I was just like, dog. Like, I got later on told, I was like, yo, that was a horrible gift. Like, I did not like this shit at all. Like, I was like, that was crazy. I wonder if she still got that shit.
You gave me the pillow and you broke off the couch before you lay on it.
Man, I'd be throwing that motherfucker around.
Oh, you kept it?
I was so sweet. No. Hell no.
Why you lying?
No.
Hell no. That was the first thing he threw away.
That's funny as shit.
Oh. Why you do that? Oh my god, nah, that was crazy. Oh, this nigga, yeah, he was harping on that for a minute. I feel sorry for Young King right here, man. I'm sorry you had to go through that, bro. That was wild. You're better than me. You're very mature. I don't give you credit for that, actually. Nah, stay with a youngin that gives me an animated photo, which I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Oh.
Yeah, so before my battery dies. Sorry.
It's gonna wrap it up then. You got anything else? No. All right. Well, that's gonna do it for us, Joe. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you did, please rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening to the audio, check out our video on YouTube. And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.